This is Trainer Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Fasig Tipton.
But it was all for Shug McGee. Super Saver wins the Derby for Todd Pletcher.
The result will give trainer Steve Asmussen career win number 6,000.
It was all have another for Doug O'Neill.
Oxbow and D-Wayne Lucas. Trainer D-Wayne Lucas, a sixth win.
And Al's Rosie is going to give trainer Gary Contessa his 2,000th career win.
And dialed in, never got to them. It was Animal Kingdom for Graham Motion.
Steve Hobby with career victory number 1,000 at Oaklawn.
Now here's Mike Penna.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show Trainers Listen To. Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you once again from my home studio while my producer Lee Delapina is back in our main studio in the heart of the Bluegrass, Lexington, Kentucky. As always, you are listening to the show live throughout North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, or you're tuned in to our free live streaming or the archived podcast of the program, and you're doing that on our HRN website at horseracingradio.net. Really happy to have everyone along for the next hour as I get a chance to welcome in a guest who is a native of Guatemala. And like many trainers who have joined us on this program over the years, he began his career as a jockey before turning his attention to training racehorses. At 39 years old, he now finds himself where every trainer would love to be, on the trail to the Kentucky Derby. And over the past 5 years, he has saddled 45 winners, and most recently, his current stable star, Finnick the Fierce, ran huge in the second division of the Arkansas Derby this past weekend at Oaklawn, finishing third behind the ultra-talented Nadal, and that has to make his trainer very, very happy. Please join me in welcoming trainer Ray Hernandez to Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton here today. Ray, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, sir. It's okay.
Yeah, appreciate you being here. Let's start there with Finnick the Fierce. That, you know, I know he didn't win, but boy, what a huge effort he put in.
Yes, he did. I mean, really happy with the race that he ran. I mean, I'm very pleased, you know, how he improving. You know, I think he's really improving every race and learning how to run, you know.
Yeah, when you took him to the Arkansas Derby, you know, he was a horse that was obviously very talented. He had shown you a lot, but what led you to put him in that spot?
Well, you know, I ride him every day on the daily basis, and I breathe him, and the total overtime is in 6 days before the race, and he breathes unbelievable. He going 59-2 with on the wrap, you know, so that gave me a really good feeling that he had a good shot to run big.
Yeah, he ran into a tiger with Nadal. Bob Baffert is holding a lot of cards now. He ran good, even though he's...
Yes, I was really hoping that I would get the other side, you know, but it's not happened, but still, I ran really good.
Yeah, he ran great, but, you know, the other thing that struck me about that race in Arkansas is, you know, he got the rail. And that's never an easy position for a young horse, but I think it was, what, the second time in a row that he's had to break from the rail?
Yes. I mean, you know, I ran him in New Orleans, and he rode the one hole and still finished fourth in La Calm. You know, he ran a big race that day, too, in New Orleans. He was the one hole, and he go seven wide in the turn and still finished four, give me like seven lengths. I mean, I think that day was the day that he would have won it, you know. And, I mean, and he, you know, the hard part is that he missing the outside eye, you know. So I not like it when I go the one hole.
Yeah, you know, when he won his debut at Indiana, did you ever think that you had a horse that would be competing for a spot in the Kentucky Derby?
You know, I always liked the horse. Well, because I brought him as a yearling. We brought him in September, October, November. And you can see that he had a lot of talent, you know. For one-eyed horse, really big, strong call. I mean, he he gave a lot of good ideas, you know, that he was a really nice horse. I never thought that he could run as a two-year-old. I mean, he was big and strong, but surprised me every time he breathed, and, you know, he was pretty fast for his size. So I take a shot in Indiana and fight Fulons, you know. And what you know that he won, so, and then he galloped out, unbelievable. So that gave me a really good idea that he could be a really nice distance horse, you know.
Yeah, and so, a lot of people don't know that story about him, that he only has the one eye because he was born with that cataract, congenital cataract in his right eye. So they eventually had to take the eye out. So he only has the one eye.
That's right, right. He only had one eye, yes.
How does that affect him when he runs?
Honest, you know, in the beginning, I think he was more, as you probably know, he was on the scene with the good eye to the grandstand and things like that. But the last two races, he ran a lot of more focus. You know, he's kind of learning how to run with that.
Yeah. Have you had to do anything different with him than you do with other horses because he only has the one eye?
You know, I kind of teach him how to be around horses. I kind of give him in company more often and kind of breathe him behind horses. And a little bit different, couple of little things, but not much different, you know. And I think he is learning every day more about the how run with one eye, you know.
Does it matter if he's inside or outside? Do you have a preference?
I like him better in outside. Be honest with you, I like him better. When he's outside, I think he's more better horse because he sees the competition, you know. But when he's stuck in the rail, I think he's not 100% focused, you know, because he not see the competition in the outside.
I love the story about...
It was my team told me to the jacket. He said, you know, I think he's much better in the outside. When I take him to outside, he's slow, he said, so... And it's true, you know, I mean, and when he put him in the outside, he make a big, huge move, you know.
Yeah, I love the story about him, too, with not just the whole situation with the one eye. I think that's, you know, kind of the underdog story with him, you know, trying to overcome that disability and proving that he can do it. We saw Patch a few years ago in the Kentucky Derby, and he proved that he could run, you know, with just the one eye. He was fine. But the whole story with... You know, the doctor that examined him, Dr. Arnaldo, is it Monge? Am I saying it right?
Arnaldo Monge.
Monge, okay. Arnaldo Monge.
Monge, yeah. Monge.
Yeah, okay. And you actually own a piece of him with Dr. Monge, too.
Yes, I own a half of it.
Well, how come you wanted to buy into him?
Like I said, you know... I've been pretty blessed, you know, the God kind of gave me that blessed, you know, the when I really like a horse, most of the time, you know, it's coming a good horse. So I really like him from the day I see him. And as soon as he came to my barn, I told Arnaldo if he want to sell a little piece, and he said, I can sell you a half. So I got a half of him, you know, and we've been really lucky, you know. And, well, you know, he's doing really well.
Yeah, he's a talented horse. Finnick the Fierce. You're going to hear more from him as we make our way toward the Kentucky Derby. Let me ask you about that, Ray. By the way, visiting with Ray Hernandez here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. With the Kentucky Derby moving to September 5th now, is that something that you think is going to help Finnick the Fierce as he continues to develop?
Yes, for sure. You know, I think he's that three-year-old that he is growing up, you know, I think he is improving and getting better, you know, long haul run, and I'm really happy how he's developing, you know.
Where are we going to see him next?
I'm not really sure, yeah. I mean, I kind of go one day at a time, but I go nominate him for that race in Churchill Down, the 23rd, see how he do it by that time. I mean, I like it. Really run a horse every 3 weeks, especially the hard that he runs. I'd be lucky if that race be 4 or 5 weeks, you know, but we see. I'm not 100% if I go run in that race or I'm going to see something else come up. All depends, you know, I don't know. It's what kind of preps they go make after all this happening, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that all is still up in the air as to how they're going to structure the new prep race series going into the Kentucky Derby, with it now being in September. The one thing you know is that he likes Churchill Downs. He's run there twice and run really, really well both times.
Yes, he liked that track. I really love to run him there. Really hope that he gets the points for the Derby, you know, because I'd be lucky to see the horse run Mount Akora.
Can you ever imagine, like, what it would be like to walk, you know, do that walkover for the Kentucky Derby and to bring him into the paddock and, you know, have an actual starter in the Kentucky Derby? Do you let yourself dream about what that would be like?
You know, it's like a dream come true, you know. I mean, honestly, it's a dream that all the people that we involve in the horse and we like horses, it's our dream, you know, the one day you walk a horse to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I've been pretty blessed, you know, that I already rode a couple of horses that really I gallop a horse that win the Kentucky Derby, Super Safe, for Winstar, you know. So it's a great feeling just to sit in a horse that already run or going to run in the Kentucky Derby, you know.
What's different when you gallop a horse that's a Kentucky Derby winner like Super Saver? What's different? What do you feel that's different under you as opposed to just, you know, an everyday, I'll call it an everyday claiming allowance type caliber horse?
You know, it's a, be honest with you, I mean, they give you a different feeling. Most when they breed, you know, like when you do the workouts, it's kind of different horse, you know what I mean? When they gallop, they show a little bit of talent, but when they breathe, it's kind of give you that big feeling, you know, that they have a big heart, and it's too many things that they have to go together, you know what I mean? They heart, they mental, you know, they have to be really focused and things like that, you know. It's kind of different kind of the feeling as the kind of the horse, you know.
How long does it take you when you start getting on a horse and galloping them in the mornings? How long does it take you, Ray, to know if that horse has, say, Kentucky Derby ability?
You know, mostly, like, you know, when they start breathing, like, a good half a mouse, ready to go 5-8, you have a pretty good idea, I mean. Because, like, most any horse can breathe a good 3-8, a little quarter, but once a horse go a half a mile and 5-8, you have a really good idea what kind of horse you got with you, you know.
What was it like watching?
What
was it like watching Super Saver win the Derby?
Oh, that was really exciting. I mean, really exciting, you know, because I worked for Winstar. Wow, so I mean, Yugi, it's really exciting and goosebumps, you know, when you see a horse that you know that you've been around across the finish line in the Kentucky Derby. You know?
Yeah, you kind of feel like, you know, you have a piece in it. I know Todd Pletcher was the trainer,
but I feel
you're part of it, right?
Yeah, I was part of it because I rode him when he was a 2-year-old before we sent it to Todd, and then after he win the Derby, he come back to Winstar, and I get a chance to ride him for a little bit after he won the Derby.
Wow. Did you go to Calvin Burrell and give him some instructions before the race?
No. I watched him from my apartment.
Ray Hernandez here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasic Tipton. As I told you in the beginning of the show, he is a native of Guatemala and a former jockey who is now training racehorses and has a horse on the Derby trail in Finnick the Fierce, doing really, really well with his new profession. So, Ray, let's go back to the beginning here a little bit. Tell me about growing up in Guatemala and being around horses. How did you get introduced to them?
Well, you know, where I come from, you know, it's a very small town, like, in the country, and we used to ride the horses, you know, to go around, you know, to go to the stores, to go to pretty much that what you cast, you know, the horses were like you cast, you know, you rode the horses to the store, you rode your horses to any, pretty much anywhere around, you know, and how I started long haul ride. I mean, by 8 years, by when I was eight, I was already riding horses, you know. And I moved in 97 to the United States, and that was my dream, the long haul ride, this style of here, how I ride this kind of horses in this country, you know.
Did you ever ride any kind of racehorses in Guatemala, or was it just riding for pleasure?
No, just like a pleasure horse, you know, like a war horses. So, I mean, in that point, you know, when I had no racetrack, no races, you know. So, yes, like a pleasure horses.
What was it like when you first came to the United States in 97?
I really like, you know, the first day I come here, you know, I really like the way everything is in the United States, you know. So I started as a hard walker, you know, like everybody else do, you know, hard walker, groom, and then, you know, long haul, the exercise ride.
Where did you start? What track?
You know, I started hard walking in Churchill Downs.
For what trainer?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't even remember who I started with. At that point, you know, I didn't pay my attention. It's a long time ago. It's 22 years ago, you know.
So, yeah, and you're just trying to get a foot in the door somewhere, right?
I understand long haul walk those big animals, you know.
Yeah, it's just such a great story, though. I mean, you grow up in a place where there is no horse racing, and you're riding horses to the store and just to get around. And then all right, so why did you decide in 97 that this was the right move, that you wanted to come to the U.S.?
You know, the problem is, you know, the my country, you know, it's not too many opportunities, you know. I mean, it's not matter how much you work. I mean, it's hard to make a career, you know. I mean, it's really not much to do, you know, no matter how much you work. I mean, you just making money to live, you know. You never kind of have the chance that you really go grow up and do something in your life. So that was my point, to trying to move to this country and see his life. Everybody, I mean, I have a brother in here already. I have two brothers in here, and they really like him here, so he's why I come here, you know.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you knew anybody or had any other family in the United States when you moved here.
Yes, I have my two brothers on here, yeah.
Yeah, where do they live?
One, he go back to Guatemala, the one that was on here, and the other one is still here. He grooming horses, so.
Does he work with you?
No, he's working with somebody else. I mean, he's grooming with somebody else, but he's still on here in the United States.
So why did you decide to be a jockey and try doing that before you started training?
You know, I always had a lot of passion for riding horses, you know, and as soon as I learned how the exercise ride, I mean, that was my next dream, you know. I want to be a jockey, you know, and then I work hard, and I get a chance to get my jockey's license, and I start riding in the race.
How many years did you ride?
That was really short career. I only rode like probably a year. I mean, I only win 26 races. I get hurt really quick. You know, a horse broke down with me, and I get hurt really bad, so I stopped riding.
Yeah, I'm not even finished
my apprentice. You know, I only rode like 8 months in my apprentice.
What happened the day you got hurt?
I was riding in a Hoosier Park in Indiana, and a horse broke down with me. He got down with me, and he fell on the top of me and broke me 7 ribs, collarbone, punched liver. So it was a pretty bad accident, you know. So after that, it's kind of, you know, I stopped riding. So I just go back to the exercise ride.
How come so many jockeys, and our official charity here on the network is the PDJF. We do a lot to help support PDJF and disabled riders. But what's that mentality, Ray, that makes a lot of jockeys, you know, go back and ride again after they get hurt significantly the way you did?
You know, I mean, when you love this game, you know, when it's something, you know, that has to step out, you know, I mean, you out for a little bit and then you want to go back, you know, I mean, you dream that. I mean, when you really like to do it, you live and dream in the night, you know, you're riding a horse. I mean, it's unbelievable how much passion that you give for be a jack or be a chain or whatever, you know. But when you really like do some kind of jobs, you know, I mean, it has to step out, you know.
Yeah, did you ever, after that happened at Hoosier Park, did you ever think about coming back to riding, or were you done the minute that happened?
No, I want to go back. I want to go back there, you know, but I get a little bit overweight. I was kind of fighting with the weight, and it's hard, you know, when you're really fighting with the weight. I mean, it's really complicated. And then I rode another horse. I mean, like 3 years later, I rode one of my horses that was I win with that filly, you know, in Torsway. So I win another race, I take it hard. So and then I was fighting too much with the weight, and I call and quit, you know.
How tempting will it be if Finnick the Fierce gets to the Kentucky Derby to come out of retirement and ride him in the Derby?
It could be too hard. I mean, I like 140 right now, so no way you can make that way back, you know.
Yeah,
I wish I could, but it could be too hard to do it.
Yeah, leave that to the little guys right now. You're a big guy
now.
Yeah,
do it. Yeah, and they're in shape, and, you know, you don't want to make a mistake in those kind of races.
Yeah, you know, that's the other thing. You know, being a jockey, if you're off for 2 or 3 weeks, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're off for that amount of time, you lose a lot of conditioning, don't you?
It's unbelievable. You just like the horses, you know. You like the horse. I mean, a horse is 100% fit, you know. They can lose the condition kind of quick, and the same as a jockey, you know. I mean, 2-3 weeks, you can feel it, you know, and longer you're off, more you're out of shape, out of focus, and so many things. It takes a while to recover, you know, I mean, to go back to the daily basis.
So you rode your last horse, I guess it was, what, 2008? Does that sound right?
2008, I rode one in Torsway, and I went with her. But I was so tired that I was, oh, my God, I mean, way too tired.
What did you do after you stopped riding them before you started? Because you didn't start training horses till what, like 2016, 2017?
Yes, after that, I exercise and breaking babies in the farms and things like that. And I worked 10 years for Winstar.
Oh, after you stopped riding?
Yeah, I started riding. I go to Elliott Wilding, you know, Elliott Wilding. When I started galloping after I retired as a jockey, I was an exercise rider for Elliott Wilding.
Yeah, well, you found a good home there because they do a tremendous job at Winstar.
I know. I mean, Elliott Wilding was really good and courage for me, you know. I mean, great guy and a lot of respect for him, you know.
Yeah, Elliott's first class. Other than being a Cincinnati Bengal fan, he's a pretty good guy. But he and I go back and forth and joke about that all the time. Ray Hernandez, my special guest on Trainer Talk presented by Fasic Tipton. You're hearing his story about riding races and then going back to the farm and riding at the farm at Winstar and now training horses and being on the Derby Trail with Finnick the Fierce, who we talked about at the beginning of the program. If you missed any of the show, all you have to do is go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can check out the podcast and hear that story after we finish up here in just a little bit. So as you're at Winstar Farm, Ray, you're aboard a horse like Super Saver, who goes on and wins the Derby. Who are some of the other horses that people might recognize that you got a chance to be on at Winstar?
Unbelievable. That was a big list about so many, you know, so many good horses that we rode over there in Winstar. I mean, unreal. The class of the two-year-olds that we get the chance to ride before they send it to the big guys, you know. I mean, I had a chance when I was with Elliott Wilding and Churchill Down. I heard the chance to gallop Bluegrass Cat. He was a really nice horse. Yes, I remember, right? He won second in the Kentucky Derby.
Good horse, yeah.
And then he, I think he win the Haskell. Also, you know, when we moved to the Wingstar farm, I had a chance to roll for a little bit Uncle Mo. He was there after day stretching, and then after he day stretched before he got to the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, so many good horses at Windstar, and you've had the privilege to be aboard so many of them. And we talked about it earlier that, you know, one thing that sets a good horse apart from an ordinary horse, let's say, is that mental approach and their ability to handle your instructions. How about a young horse, Ray, when you're working with those young two-year-olds and they're just being broke, even before they're two, and they're being broke? What's the key to getting them ready to go to the races?
Can you say that again, please? I was, and I can't hear exactly what you said.
Yeah, when you're working with those young horses, the two-year-olds and the, you know, horses that you're breaking, what's the key to getting them ready to go to the races?
You know, be honest with you. I mean, I broke so many babies, and I really think the young horse is like you're raising a little kid. You know what I mean? You have to go little by little, you know, patient. Stay one at the main part, be really patient. And every individual horse is mostly different, you know what I mean? Some you have to be a little more easy with, some you have to be a little more encouraged. I think, yes, patient is one of the key, I think, for a horse, for a young horse to develop the right direction, you know.
It's a lot like raising a kid, isn't it?
Yes, exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had other trainers.
A little something make a big difference, for good or for bad.
Yeah. I've had other trainers come on this show and tell me that they view themselves as being a coach, you know, with these horses. Is that how you look at yourself too?
Yes. I mean, like I say, I mean, I hear the bless, you know, and the privilege there. I break a lot of babies. I start breaking babies soon as long haul galloping. It helped me a lot in my career, you know, kind of understand the horses a little more, you know, than anything, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Ray Hernandez here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Ray, we're going to take a short commercial break. Stay with me. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of the other top horses that you've had the chance to be around and had the chance to train too. We'll talk about that coming up in the second half of the program. He is Ray Hernandez. I am Mike Pena. This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Stay with us. It's here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, Fasig's family, basically. Some of the guys that work here I've known for 30 years. I just felt really supported, and they're great communicators. They try to help in whatever you do.
Fasig Tipton's has a sale for every market, every segment in the industry. There's multiple opportunities where you're gonna have plenty of good buying and selling situations.
Great customer service. I'm not only a buyer with them, but I'm a seller, and I've always been well taken care of.
There's a lot of different things that sometimes you need at a sale, and Fasig Tipton is there every step of the way.
They show year after year that they're ethical and they're fair, and they enjoy what they do. But when you're around people that have a combination of all those things, you know, you can't lose.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Warfront. This son of Danzig ranks among the world's elite sires, with grade one winners on dirt and turf, and star performers both at home and abroad. Warfront's success as an international super sire is unmatched. Recent grade one winners include Omaha Beach and Preakness Stakes hero War of Will. In the auction ring, Warfront was the number one sire by highest average at Keeneland September, with yearlings commanding prices up to $2.9 million. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Time-tested Broken Vow continues to deliver quality black-type stakes horses at a 15% clip. The top son of Unbridled has sired over 150 black-type horses, 80 black-type winners, and over $75 million in earnings. Among the 12 black-type horses sired by Broken Vow in 2019 was dual Canadian Classic winner Tone Broke, winner of classic races on dirt and turf. Also the sire of Imprimis, the Speedy Keeneland graded stakes winner of over $440,000. Give your mare a great start with a proven sire. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
This is Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It's two lengths now further back to Finnick the Fierce. And then comes Winning Impression, who's moved up into third now. General Treva short lead. Winning Impression outside of Answer In. These three across the track. General Trev, Answer In, Winning Impression. They are battling past mid-stretch. Winning Impression puts his head in front. General Trev, Answer In is tightly between horses. These three are very close, and Winning Impression and General Trev, Answer In couldn't get through. Winning Impression, General Trev, Winning Impression. Winning Impression won by a length. It is very close for second between Finnick the Fierce and General Trev. Close for fourth between Adhar and Answer In.
Welcome back to Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you again on this very memorable program, talking with trainer Ray Hernandez, who conditions Finnick the Fierce. He was put up for the victory in that race on April 4th after being interfered with about the eighth pole, and the stewards ruling that, yeah, there was enough interference to give him the victory. So he got the allowance win that day, came back and ran a huge third in the Arkansas Derby behind Nadal this past weekend. And Finnick the Fierce is trained by my guest here, Ray Hernandez. Remind you that if you missed any portion of the show, you can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out the podcast, listen at your leisure. You can also do that via Apple Podcasts as well, and listen to this version of Trainer Talk and all of our Trainer Talk programs. Don't forget, you can also follow us on social media, at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook and on Instagram. Well, Ray, that call from Vic Stauffer there, April 4th at Oaklawn. I know that Finnick the Fierce didn't finish in front of Winning Impression, but as I mentioned, he got put up. Good call on the part of the stewards, I believe, and I know you agree.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think it really happened, you know. He was stuck in the rail the whole way, you know, and definitely he not can see the competition in the outside with the missing eye, you know. And he was pretty tight in the rail, so I think they did a great job to pull him up.
Yeah, Finnick the Fierce, the one-eyed horse, as I told you in the first half of the program, he was born with a condition, congenital cataract, in his right eye. They couldn't save the eye, so they had to remove it. So he only has one eye, but it hasn't stopped him. It's not slowing him down at all, and it would be a great story for Finnick the Fierce to make it to the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in September, and I know that would be music to the ears of Ray Hernandez, who is here on the program again this afternoon. Ray, there have been other good horses that have come through your barn beside Finnick the Fierce, and one of those is a horse named Zip On By. Tell me a little bit about him.
He's a really good horse. I mean, I really like the horse. I brought him as a baby. And then, you know, at that point, Mr. Ed Horse, the one that Ben supported me a lot. I mean, I brought him and get you a point that breeds like a 3/8, half a mile, and send it to Young Woods. And then, you know, every time that they want to give a little break, he come back to Mr. Almaceri's farm, and then he come to my place, you know, to my barn, and we kind of get him ready and send it back to Young Woods, you know. And then after a while, you know, he gave me a chance to run him. And, well, you know, the first time I ran him, he won for me. So far, I think he already win 5 races for me. He gave me my first stay this year. And he win a really nice allowance in November in Churchill Downs. So I really like the horse. He's really class sprinter, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good horse by City Zip. What was it like to get that first stakes victory?
Oh, that was unbelievable, really good feeling, you know, because it's like when you're a trainer, you know, or Jack, you know, it's, as an owner or anybody, you know, that is involved in the horse, is you dream, you know, get your first stay or your first grade stay or anything like that, you know, but that was, I was feeling like I win a great one.
Yeah, I tell everybody, and I've said it on this program a bunch of times, but that feeling of winning a horse race as an owner, as a trainer, as a jockey, look, Ray, there's just nothing like it, is there?
It's nothing like it. I mean, it's not replacing. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, living is, any race you win is so exciting. You know, living is a $5,000 race. It's a great feeling. And you win a stay. I mean, you win the greatest. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, when he won
and
that.
For a horse like a Phoenix the Fish, you know, he's in the Derby Trail. It's amazing. And sometimes, you know, I can't believe it. Because it's like a dream come true, you know. And it's amazing.
Yeah, when Zip On By won that stakes race for you, it was August 3rd of last year, and it was at Mountaineer Park. And, you know, he went wire to wire that day. He kind of had a little bobble at the start, but then drew off to win by nearly 7 lengths. And he wasn't even the favorite in the race. He was second choice. When you're seeing him win that easily, are you thinking, oh, my gosh, just stay on the horse, don't fall off?
Yeah, you know, because he stumbled a little bit out of the gate that day, you know. I mean, it's the last thing you want happen in a short race, you know, especially with 4.5 furlongs. It's the first time that he ran that show, you know, and said, please, bro, good, and not stop.
How cool was it to saddle him in a great...
He stumbled a little bit out of the gate, and then he recovered and went, but I think it was 6.5 lengths.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he won so impressively. He came back in his next start and ran at Keeneland in the Grade 2 Phoenix Stakes. How cool was it to saddle a horse in a graded stake at Keeneland?
Oh, that's unbelievable, too. You know, I mean, that was really good feeling. You know, he ran a big race. I mean, that day he only could be, I think, 3.5 lengths. But he finished 7, if I believe right, but he ran a huge race. He only could be like 3.5 lengths of the whole thing. And one of those days, you know, the speed now was holding on. You know, everybody was coming off the pace. And he ran a really, really good race that day.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he was in there with some heavy hitters, too. I mean, you look at Whitmore.
Okay, well,
Whitmore was second.
Pretty much with the best sprinters, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Dale Romans. Yeah, Dale Romans had promises fulfilled.
Dale Romans was there. And they both killed each other in the lead, you know, that day. Steep on by and Dale Romans horse. Because that day, you know, that race was, if you win, you go to Breeders' Cup.
That's right, too. It was a win and you're in.
Yeah.
Yep, that's right. So when you come into the paddock at Keeneland and you look around and there's Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, there's Dale Romans with a couple of horses in there, there's Ron Moquette, there's Bob Hess, who has had a lot of success, and you look around and you see all these trainers, what's the first thing that goes into your mind? Is it, what on earth am I doing here? Or is it, let's go get them?
You know, I have a lot of faith in that horse. I mean, really, I have a lot of faith in Sipo Myers. Every time I rode, they ran the horse, you know, he was right close to the money, you know. He was, every race that he was running, he was against pretty nice horses. He always ran a big race, so I was pretty confident. So I was have a good chance of running a good tour or second, you know, and I take that chance, and I mean, I was pretty happy how he ran a good race.
Yeah, but what about for you, Ray? I mean, when you know, here you are, you grow up in Guatemala, you come to the United States in 97, you work your tail off to get to where you are today, and you walk in, and even in Arkansas, there's Bob Baffert, there's Steve Asmussen, and here's Ray Hernandez coming in with his horse. How, that has to be kind of cool too, isn't it?
It is. It is really good feeling, you know, because I mean, it's a long way they come from, you know what I mean? I mean, you start from zero to have a horse that is good enough to compete with the greatest trainers in America and the greatest horses in America. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's the best feeling, too. You know, leaving the unit win, and you run, as long as you run good, you're very happy, you know, because you know that it's hard to make it and hard to do it.
I know you were close with Elliot Walden, but were there other trainers since you came to the United States that you looked up to and thought, well, maybe someday I could, you know, I could get to that level and, you know, a trainer like that?
Well, I always, you know, I really impressed how Buffett trained, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable how every year, you know, he has such a nice horses and stuff like that. I mean, and Top Pleasure, and so many good ones, you know, that you kind of wish that one day you'd be close to those kind of guys, you know.
Have you spent much time talking with Todd or with Bob Baffert?
Not really. I mean, I never really get a chance to live and talk with those guys. You know, I just see him, but I never, because most of my whole career I've been in Kentucky, you know, I've been, yes, in Kentucky, and pretty much, you know, most of my career I worked for Queenstar, you know, and then I moved on to work for 2 years in Calumet and the farm too with Jose Fernandez. He was good horseman and good in college too. So, and then after I finished with Jose Fernandez in Calumet, I go to with Rebecca Maker. I was in the Chinese and as assisting and had a couple of horses to my own, you know, and how I really start running some horses.
When you first started training horses on your own a few years ago, what were those first few months like? Were they a little nerve wracking, or were you pretty confident you could get this thing off the ground and running?
Well, I mean, I had pretty good confidence. I was hoping, you know, that I pick up some good owners to give me the chance with decent horses, you know. And I was pretty blessed, you know, that they not take it too long to give the chance to have a couple horses that they can run a little bit.
How many horses do you have now?
At the moment, it's like 35 in training.
Ooh, that's a good number, right?
It is a good number, yeah.
Where would you like to be eventually? You want more?
You know, I mean, without you, I mean, that number is a good number. I mean, you hope to get good horses, you know, good horses that they can compete, especially, you know, Churchill, Kingland, and pretty much, in, because a horse that compete in Churchill, Kingland, you know that you have a nice horse that you can go almost anywhere with them.
Yep.
But I'm pretty happy, you know, with the group I have here. Couple nice horses,
And you're training out at the Thoroughbred Training Center here in Lexington, right?
Yes, I'm in the Thoroughbred Training Center. Yeah.
Why is that the right place to be right now for you?
Excuse me?
Why is that the right place to be for you with your business right now?
I really like it, you know, because it's a good track. It's a good track to be a horse feed, and you have more opportunity, you know, you have like a paddock that you can turn out a horse if you need to turn it out. They have like a swimming pool. They have like a open fields that you can trail ride and stuff like that. So it's quite a few more things that you're not be able to get in the racetrack, you know.
Talking with trainer Ray Hernandez here on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton. Ray, tell me about some of the owners that have supported you over these past couple of years to help you get your business off the ground and get it to where it is today.
Well, number one is Alfonso Maceri. Mm-hmm. He's the one that really started, because he like, he's the one that I've been taking care of a lot of the young horses in the layups for Ed Orr. So he's the one that started giving me the opportunity how to start training horses. He's the one that bring me like my first couple horses to train and run, you know. So he's the one that really gave me in this business. And then Ed Orr been a big support, you know. I mean, he's really been big support for me. And then, you know, Arnaldo Monge come along, you know, like, you know, that he's a half owner, Phoenix the Fierce, so. And his wife, Tina, I mean, they really, really good people. They've been helping me a lot. As a owner, as a friends, you know, they look like more like a family than owner, you know.
Yeah, that's very well said. So many trainers, that's so important to develop those relationships and hopefully have those relationships long time with your owners, and that helps you be successful too. How about some of the horses, Ray, that outside of like Zip On By and Finnick the Fierce, that when you think about the horses you've had the privilege to be around with your own operation, that the horses you've trained, how about some of those horses that you remember and you're always going to remember them?
Definitely, no. My first two horses that win my first two races, that was great, you know. I mean, I win my first two races when I was the assistant with Rebecca Maker, and we were like a, I mean, her name was White Gold Chanel. She win in Georgetown. That was my first race. She win in Georgetown with that field before the time started. Maiden, I think it was Maiden. Still made in 40, the race that she won. And
you must have felt like she won the Kentucky Oaks.
Yeah, because she went like by 6 years. I mean, she went really. So, it's been a couple of horses that been through my band there. Like a nice 2 year old, like last year, I got a nice 2 year old that I broke, and I sent him, started breathing when he left my van at Goofo. He had Queen State, Saturday, and Gostin. Mm-hmm. Nice 2 year old that we broke together with Phoenix the Fish. Chris Clement trained that one.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's been a couple of nice horses that went through my van that go and be successful outside, you know. Oh, yeah, another filly that I sent there, she was breathing. Good 3/8, a half a mile when she left my band to Steven Music is Altas Award. She won 4 in the fantasy the other day in Oakland, Friday.
Nice.
Ed Orr feeling, yeah.
What do you consider to be your best training job? The best thing you've ever done with one single horse? What would it be?
Say it again.
What do you consider to be your best training job?
Like
maybe a horse that, you know, you were kind of thinking at first, I don't know if this horse can really run. And then you made some moves, you did some things right, and all of a sudden the horse becomes really good and wins a couple of races.
You mean they're already done, or are you going to do it?
Say that again?
You mean like a horse that I think going to do it, or already done it?
Yeah, a horse that has already done it, that you did some really good work with.
I think be super, I mean, Zip On By.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was in good, with a good training, you know, for 2 years, and he win one race, you know, and then he come to me and he turned out and be a state winner, you know. So I think that was a big change.
Yeah, Zip On By, pretty darn good. He's still considered your leading money earner, but Phoenix the Fierce is catching him. He's right behind him now, and we'll see if maybe Phoenix the Fierce can pass him in his next race. He tends to pass a lot of other horses. Maybe he can pass Zip On By in terms of earnings too, which I know you'd be pretty happy with that. Where are we going to see Zip On By? Is he still in training?
Yes, he had run 2 weeks ago, and he probably got on the opening week in Churchill.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him.
He looked like
too.
He really liked Churchill down, so anyway, he could run next in Churchill.
What makes a good horse trainer, Ray? What's the key?
Be honest with you, I mean, like I say, I'm pretty new in this game, but in my opinion, I think patience is a big key for this. I mean, a lot of patience, because, I mean, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy. You have to work hard every day and be patient. You know, some horses, they really have to, especially young horses, you know, they just go one day at a time, you know what I mean? You make a sketch today, and sometimes they change the next day.
You know, you would think that for somebody like Bob Baffert or Steve Asmussen or Todd Pletcher, because they have so many horses and they're winning so many big races, that it would be easier for them to be patient than somebody like yourself, who is working your tail off and you have 35 horses and you got to win races. Is it harder for a trainer that's just getting started to have patience and be able to give the horses time?
Yes, it is. It's definitely a lot of harder, you know, because like those big guys, they have a lot of horses, you know, it's going to need a little time off. Definitely they have another one or two ready to come back. And for us, you know, we lose one and sometimes you're not filling up that store again. I mean, yeah. It'll take forever, you know what I mean? It's really hard. I mean, you want to, it is. I mean, it's a lot of harder when you started thing. When already some of those guys, they already pretty much heard they set up their career, you know. They already famous.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this obviously, Ray, the show is sponsored by Phasic Tipton, and it has been for many, many years now. We can't thank them enough for what they do. But do you see yourself getting to the point where you're going to be going to horse sales like at Phasic Tipton and picking out young horses that you like that you can then go ahead and train?
Definitely. You know, I mean, that's my dream too. You know, I really like the babies. You know, I really like the yearlings and the 2 year-olds. It's honest. I mean, it's my favorite part because I really like how they develop. You know, I mean, every day you see different in the young horses, and it's pretty much your future, you know. It's your dream that you can give a Kentucky Derby, you can give a Kentucky Oaks, or great stage, you know. I mean, it's so nice to see how they grow up.
Yeah, you gallop a lot of your own horses. You break babies. You've done a lot of that, and you've been aboard really, really good horses, including the likes of Finnick the Fierce and Super Saver, who won the Kentucky Derby. We talked about that in the first half of the show. If you were to go to a horse sale and start looking at horses, Ray, what are some of the key attributes that you want to see in those horses when you're looking at them?
In my point, I mean, I really like a horse that is, have a good mind. I think it's mm-hmm. very important, have a good mind. And good size too, you know what I mean? Like really good confirmation is very important, especially when you go, you're rooming for a big race, you know, confirmation is very important. The mind is crazy, you know what I mean? You have to have a good mind to compete with the big competitions.
Yeah, that certainly helps, and as we know, Finnick the Fierce has a pretty good mind, and we're looking forward to seeing him as he makes his way down the road to the Kentucky Derby that first Saturday in September now this year. Just a couple of minutes left here, Ray. We'll have to wrap it up, but I always like to end by asking trainers some things that they like to do outside of horse racing. So I know you spend an awful lot of time at the barn and that this is your life and it's an obsession, and it has to be, but what other hobbies or interests or other things do you happen to get into outside of racing?
You know, be honest, not much. Pretty much I just kind of doing racing, you know what I mean? And I just kind of pretty busy with the horses. And at the moment, you know, I just, right now I'm pretty focusing all my horses they're training and breaking some of the young horses because, I mean, we're breaking a lot of babies every year, so I stay pretty busy. So most of the...
How about other sports? Do you have other sports that you follow?
Not really. Not really.
This is it. Just horse racing.
Yes, kind of horse racing, yes.
You know, I asked that same question to Richard Mandela years ago when he was on this program and we were wrapping up the show, and he paused, and then he kind of gave me the same answer that you just did. He said, just horses. This is my life.
Yeah, becoming honest, you know what I mean? You work so many hours, you know what I mean? I mean, it has to, especially me, you know, especially that I just started, you know what I mean? I have to work harder than most of the big trainers, you know, because most of the big trainers, they have assistants, they have a lot more help, you know. I just do a lot on my own.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you have worked your tail off your whole life when you were in Guatemala and then ever since coming to the United States, and I love your story. You've been here since 97, and then here you are with an opportunity to get to the Kentucky Derby and maybe achieve what would be a dream for so many people that are involved in the sport. And, Ray, I can't thank you enough for spending some time to tell me your story here on the show and really wish you all the best moving forward over the next several months with Finnick the Fierce and all the horses that are, that you have in your barn.
Thank you, sir. So that's appreciating. I want to add it up. I can thank Kenneth, you know, like the owner that gave me the chance and the opportunity to train some of the nice horses, you know, like Ed Orr and Arnaldo Monge and Alma Seri, you know, and it's a great opportunity that they believe in me, you know, and some of the dreams coming true.
Yeah, great way to end the program. Ray Hernandez, my special guest here on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Ray, all the best moving forward, and keep working hard and keep it rolling.
Thanks, sir.
All right, thank you. How about that? I mean, I love stories like that. I love when somebody gets into the sport and does it all on their own. And yeah, he had help. He had people that helped him along the way. Elliot Walden was somebody you had talked about in the first half of the program. He talked about guys like, you know, Todd Pletcher and being around their operations. Such a great story. If you missed any portion of the program, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. Also follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Now for my producer, Lee Delapina, for my special guest, Ray Hernandez, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Thanks for listening.